Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. This police officer, this ex-police officer, this former police officer, it is amazing, you know, what's taking place. And there's a spirit. There's a spirit in the land. I don't know if we're seeing this, that we need to begin to really take note of what's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
What's happening everywhere. And there's a big, huge manhunt going on right now for this particular former officer whose name is Christopher J. Is it Dorner? D-O-R-N-E-R. He's 33 years old.
I think so.
He's a former Navy reservist, and he was with the LAPD in 2008, and he was let go. And he feels, based on the reports, he put some manifesto on his Facebook that basically explained what he was going to do. But then he was going to go after officers that he worked with. He's going to go after their families. I mean, it was tough enough. It was so, you know, I was a police officer, and I mean, you had to live in the same community that you put family members of people in jail because they broke the law. That was your job. Your job was to go, okay, if they're robbing a bank, you had to go put them in jail because that was the law.
Right.
But they still have, you know, uncles, aunts, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters still in the city that you're living in. And then sometimes they get out, you know, during your depends how long they stayed in prison. Mm-hmm. Most people don't stay that long. And you're already vulnerable as an officer. I mean, I really admire the police officers of our nation and the sheriffs, the deputies and all, because they, every day, I mean, there's nothing like this. I mean, if you go fight a war, it's a lot different because, you know, you have the enemy, you know who they are, you go attack the enemy, you come back home. Everybody around you is on your side pretty much. Used to be like that. And as in law enforcement, you're like, you know, you're like amongst maybe friend, maybe foe. I mean, you don't know. You go out to eat, you're sitting with very people, family members, maybe that you had to, you know, arrest one of their family members. And, and it's a real touchy situation as it is. But now you have an officer, ex-officer, who's putting them on a target, on a list, and saying, I'm going to hunt you up and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your family members. Wow. And I'm going to begin to kill anything to do with that. And,
Well, you know, allegedly he, it looks like he killed and murdered one of the ex-police chief's daughter and fiance.
Yeah, she had left the force and became a lawyer, right? She's working with the,
the incident I'm talking about, I think that she was actually a basketball coach.
Okay.
And the fiancé, her and the fiancé, and this was from the former police chief, Kwan. And so this is allegedly going on right now. They're doing a house by house, as I understand it, manhunt, looking for this ex-cop.
Well, you know, in Torrance, these two ladies were delivering newspapers, and they were wounded by police officers because they were mistaken for the suspect's vehicle. And they began to fire quite a few shots. They offloaded into this Nissan pickup. And, it's just terrible that the stress and the pressure now that the department's under, because now they're trying to not just, if it was just them, they wouldn't be so upset. But now that this guy's saying, I'm going after your wife, I'm going after your daughters, I'm going after your children. And these guys have served, you know, so their hair on the back of their neck is going to go up, and they're going to really be forceful in stopping this guy before any of their wives get killed or their husbands get killed, or, you know, and you can understand that. And this is what I talked about this coming storm, and I talked about Guy Fawkes and that these officers, they're human beings. And if you start threatening them and threatening their family and they're experiencing the losses, we're seeing a picture of that right now. And they're doing what most people will do, you know, in responding to protect their families and protect their fellow officers' families and all that. But we'll talk more about that right at this break. We're just talking about this ex-LAPD officer, Christopher Dorner, who is somewhere on the earth. I would assume he has no electric devices because everything's trackable today, and every phone's trackable and all that. But there's a way that, you know, that's what's happening. But how do you respond to this? Realize that All these things are connected. Everything is connected. Nemo's connected to Christopher's situation, LAPD, school shooting in
Newtown.
And that's connected with Aurora. A theater shooting is connected. All these things are connected. The overburden of the finances of what's taken with $17 trillion indeed. This is all connected. And hopefully, you know, we'll get a chance to talk about the remedy. What is the remedy for this? Because this is what we're told. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against Christopher here. We're not wrestling against these men who lost their minds to come in there to kill innocent children and citizens. We're wrestling against the spirit that grabbed a hold of them.
Yeah,
they're demon possessed. There's a demonic oppression. You can look at their faces. So it's almost like the church lost all of our abilities to so easily look at somebody and go, there's something wrong right there. There's something got a hold of this person. And remember that you know, we have the power to deliver people under the authority of Jesus' name from demonic oppression. We don't just have to medicate the individual so they can tolerate the demonic oppression in their life. We can actually set them free in Jesus' name from it.
Right.
But all these things are connected. And so what do we do? Well, one thing we do right now, we begin to pray for justice. Nobody's praying or crying out to God for justice. And I think you can go to VFNTV and you can watch No One Cries for Justice at VFNTV.com and understand that if we begin to cry for justice, these things God fixes. But with that, that's putting everything back in its place again, which means it's God's going to put us back in our place again. He's going to put marriage back in its place again. He's going to put family back in its place again. He's going to put our culture back in its place again. But that's a good thing because his place is a place of blessing and prosperity and all these things. But this thing is just going to continue if we stay in this state of rebellion towards God and deny that it's his hand that's been on this nation. It's he that's blessed us, that it is was founded on Judeo-Christian values. I mean, if you just read the Bible, listen, 82% of professed born-again believers, according to George Barna, are not even reading the Bible. But if you just read what God said to Moses when he was giving him the laws, you'll actually see America's laws. You'll see the prudent man comes from God's word. When he talks about, hey, if this person gets in a fight and he doesn't die, and he's able to walk again, then this person is only responsible for paying for damages, but the person shouldn't be put to death because the person lived. But if the person, and he has all these different, it's like, this is the actual legal system for America.
Right.
And it came from the mouth of God to Moses on the mountain, Mount Sinai. That's what happened. It came. And that wasn't just the Ten Commandments. It was very detailed things of how a society should operate. And we took those Judeo, which is Old Testament, Christian, which is New Testament values, and our founding fathers did, and they began to write down, you know, the U.S. Constitution and how things would, our laws, and that's where they were derived from. And that's how we ended up with some things we regretted and later repented for, because in the context of that, everything's talked about. Everything America's done was spoken of in the Word of God. Everything. So we got to turn back to God. And so what we do is we begin to cry for justice. God, bring justice. And what happens when you start looking at justice and you realize, hey, this is not good for me. It brings us to the cross. It brings us back to Jesus when we cry for justice. Before you start shouting from the rooftop saying, yeah, I want justice for Christopher, you know, as former LAPD officer, make sure that justice has been served in your life at the cross of Christ. Understand that God is a just God and he's the one that justifies, but what he did was he served justice on Jesus. He actually took the punishment that was due us, the injustices that we caused, and he literally put them on and struck his own son. Jesus on the cross. That's what's so awesome about what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
And we go and we say, you know, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be, thank you for taking my place. Thank you for taking the justice that was due me. I'm going to make you the Lord of my life, and I'm going to walk in your ways, which now I'm not walking illegally anymore. I'm not walking spiritually illegal anymore. I'm walking in the ways of God through the empowerment of his spirit. And now, yes, we all deserve to be destroyed. Every one of us deserve to be destroyed. But if we make Jesus the Lord of our life, our destruction was on Jesus. That's what's so good about it. So that's the justice of God. Understand that. That means this, too, that if America, the American church, does not repent, justice is going to come down on the country.
Right.
It's going to come down, which means it's going to be back in order. we're going to be back in order. It may not be called America. It may not be called America.
Yeah.
But God's, God has a way of getting our attention and getting us back. But why go through all that? And so we need to pray for justice for first get ourselves in alignment with the justice that was served on Jesus Christ at the cross by God, understanding that he's a just God and the one that justifies, and say, God, forgive me where I've went astray, where I've sinned, where I've done other people wrong. Cleanse me from that, Lord. Restore me, Lord. I want to be your disciple, Jesus. I want to know your teachings, and I want to follow your teachings, and I want to be known for that. And I want to go into all the world and let other people know. And then begin to say, you know what? I'm going to love God, love others, and lead other people to this very same thing that I just personally experienced in my own life. And my testimony is what will encourage people. Because we'll say, I was Christopher. I was this guy, or I was this woman. I was this prostitute. I was this. But now God's forgiven me. God saved me, and God has set me free. And yeah, the justice came down, but it came down on Jesus. And I love him for that. And so, yes, we've got to cry out for justice for America so this slaughter will stop. And it's not going to be just the slaughter in the context of what we're seeing, man against man, but we're going to look at geothermal type things taking place. Oh. They're just saying right now that Yellowstone is one of the most powerful expectant volcanoes in the world, and its eruption could literally destroy the world, not just America, because it'll blow so much stuff in the air that when it all lands, it will kill. But also, then its plume, its cloud, will block the sun. Then all the vegetation would die, and then man dies off. That's how big it is.
Oh wow!
Wow!
And understand this: that God holds these things back. These are things that stay in check when we're in check. But when we're out of check, all these things he held in check, he pulls his hand off of them.
Wow.
And that alone, understand that, why go this route? Why do that? And that's Yellowstone Park. And you're talking about not just a country, but the world could be affected by an eruption in there. But economical, we're looking at the economy and how the economy is just being in our faces. And when you go back and look at the perfect storm, you can get to it at VFNTV.com and click on the banner at the bottom and the prophetic words that was given by John Paul Jackson in regards to the headlines that God has shown him. They're coming to pass like clockwork. And now they're discussing a across-the-board cut, the budget, and one of those are defense budget cuts. And they're talking about cutting the pay of the military. Remember, this is one of the headlines was, military comes home because there's not enough money to be able to keep them in these lands. Right. And they're bringing them home as we speak, intentionally bringing them home.
Right.
And it's not a mistake. What really happens, when you live long enough, you begin to see that God will allow a man to believe what he needs to believe so he can do what God wants him to do. And they'll be convinced in their own heart, this is the right thing for America. When really God's allowing them to believe that so that they are used to humble America.
Sure.
And these things are happening right in our faces. I mean, right in our faces.
I think he proved it with Pharaoh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pharaoh was just serving God's purposes.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he hardened his heart and it was just amazing. It was amazing what's taking place. And so, this you got to understand, if it comes from a law enforcement perspective, that these officers now, here they are armed, and officers have officers watching officers now. And while at the same time, Washington's wanting to take your guns away from you. Now you have officers watching officers watching officers. This one who has a gun's watching over this one with their gun, watching that one with their gun.
Wow.
While the feds are coming with their guns to protect the families of the ones with guns from this one guy with a gun. At the same time, they're saying, listen, we want to take y'all's guns away. It's like, no, take Christopher's away. take people that are like that. But don't take the law-abiding citizens. What defense do we have? What defense do we have? I was looking at the blaze where this particular 78-year-old woman, maybe 80-year-old woman, somebody came into her house, I believe, with a knife. And she pulled a gun out on him, and she said, just put the right knife down and leave.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's reportedly that he put the knife down and left. How simple is that? They're both alive.
Hmm.
You know, a gun wins out over a knife if you're ready to use it. If you're not ready to use it, you know, we learned in law enforcement that if you're within 20 feet, maybe 30 feet, but at least 20 feet, and they have a knife, it doesn't. It just takes one lunge, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not for us. We'd limp 20 feet. I'm going to get you.
Right.
We throw it, and the handle would hit instead of the blade thing. It's like, no, oh, that's gosh. Not the way it's supposed to happen.
All right.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.